The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
He brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point.
Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is wow.
Oh, my God.
And he's doing a great job.
Okay. I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
And together, they are Steiny and Guru.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game.
That's not the way you want to start the show. You can't hog the coffee machine when everybody is in line to try and get some caffeine before we got to go to work.
And then you bring in, Kenny, your lemonade jug from home. So it's like the big jug. And we're just sitting there like, dude, other people are in line, man. I want my French vanilla.
First of all, how do you hog a coffee machine when it's one by one? And two, Goo, it was just a double shot of espresso. Lay off me.
It took too long.
It takes 45 seconds per shot. That's a minute and a half. We only have a 6-minute commercial break, and there are three other people that need to get coffee. And we're not going to jump to the front of the line because that's not who we are as people.
Well,
yeah.
That's all
there it is. I don't think of Steiny and Goo we've ever did a prediction this fast. I have one. Put this in the cap.
Right off the
Cincinnati Reds have quit, and the Giants will get their first sweep of the season. Now that Logan Webb has replaced Roop, he'll be pissed. This is a done data. Liquidate all assets, dibs. Anybody out there that needs chicken, the Reds, they're lifeless, and the Giants will get their sweep today. I mean, the Reds are done. They quit, E.
Please
the Giants are about to get the sweep. And they did it, and that's why I believe Webb is pitching today.
I hate myself.
Put it all on the Giants, man.
I hate myself. You know what the first thing I thought of as you started that rant? I'm rooting for the Reds today.
Now that...
I'm sorry,
that
man.
That must
I
be
just,
the chair.
I know, it's... I just... It's
to
who
say
I am.
You want your boy to be wrong.
No. It's not, it's not about you being wrong.
But you're being honest? Wow.
No, it's just... It's who I am. I'm sorry.
No, wow. The people you think love you.
No, I'm like Kyle Shanahan. You're just John Stribling. I just... There's
what
something about
that?
You that bothers me.
What
I don't know
that?
What it is.
What was that, E? We got to get to it.
Well, it's kind of what's been happening all preseason. I don't know, Goo. By the way, all right, this is what we got coming up today. 11 o'clock, Steve Wyche of the NFL Network, Chief National Reporter, is going to join us. It's actually 10 years to the day that Colin Kaepernick sat in a preseason game against the Green Bay Packers. Steve Wyche broke the story, interviewed him first.
Wow.
So we're going to talk to him about that, along with the Niners, look back, look ahead. So that's coming up in an hour. But you're right. Outside of the Giants going for their sweep today, there's something that's a little strange. And is it just Kyle Shanahan and receivers? Is it Kyle Shanahan and rookies? Like, what's going on here?
I got to believe, and I'm trying to channel my inner Bill Parcells in great coaches to where they don't want the youngster Stribs to read his press clippings because he's definitely getting them, right? I mean, the dude's been out there catching everything that's come his way. And I get it, people. It is preseason. It is preseason. And a lot of love has been going his way. But I will tell you this. A couple years ago, Steiny and I got into a 15-round bout in regard to young Brandon Ayuk being in what we thought was a doghouse or a doghouse. I kind of didn't understand it then because I didn't know what Ayuk had done. So I know you're going to play this sound, but I'm like, damn, Kyle. Give the youngster some love, or is this channeling his inner tuna to where he's just like, I don't want to give Evan too much credit, you know, because he's a rookie.
So here's what we're talking about. Yesterday, we got into a lot of the sound from Shanahan on Jed York, update on Mike Evans. He'll be back in practice next week. And there's also some stuff about, I believe it was Nick Bosa, who's also going to be out, and then he'll practice next week, and hopefully he and Evans will be good to go for week one in Australia. But this sort of slipped under the radar, if you will, and it caught the boss's ear, and he threw it on social media last night.
Had 40 responses.
It generated a lot of reaction, and we're going to get into it. So here's Kyle Shanahan on the standout rookie receiver, DeJuan Stribling, and his progression in preseason.
Oh,
encouraging. I'm sure it is encouraging to see what Dejon Stribling has been able to do through the first two preseason games. And is it more than you guys expected at this point in the preseason?
No, I mean, the preseason games don't mean that much to me. I mean, the coverages went that way. He happened to get targeted, and he made those plays. But he's been doing that in practice, too. So he's where we expected him to be. And, you know, we hope to not have to use him quite as much early on with Ricky and stuff out there. But we believed he was talented enough and made it the right stuff that he could be if needed. And just losing Ricky just ups that a little bit. You have to use him a little sooner than you prepared. But that's stuff that happens all the time.
Sooner than you prepared. Well, what were you prepared for? He was your first overall selection. I know he's a second-round pick, but he was the first guy you took. And this was a wide receiver room that, without Brandon Ayuk, and I think with the inability of Ricky Pearsall to stay on the field.
I mean, man.
Did you not think that Stribling was going to be a factor this year?
That's what's perplexing. And again, then what about the part, and tell me if I'm doing my Dick Tracy a little wrong, the fact that he kind of made it just seem like it was easy because it was preseason. And when we're talking about just a young receiver and the mentals, right? Shout out Marshawn Lynch. Just catching the ball is a thing. I don't care if they're not giving you the attention or whatnot, but just catching the ball, which Stribling has done pretty well in the regular in the preseason, I feel like Kyle's like, yeah, he's catching them because it's just preseason. Nothing to see here. Like, I don't get any excitement from him.
No, and it doesn't sound like – I understand Kyle Shanahan trying to downplay excitement around a guy who has not caught a pass in the regular season of an NFL game. But if you're a fan of the Niners, we talked about this and have been all week. What is there to get excited about in terms of the young upcoming talent? There's one guy right now.
What's his name?
Dejon Stribling. Dejon Stribling is going to sell there's going to be a lot of 15 jerseys out of Candlestick come week two.
I wish he had a different number, but you're right.
I know. You don't like the number.
Jitting.
But my thing is, you know, why is Kyle so hard on, it feels like wide receivers specifically. We pulled some sound from earlier of him reflecting on what he thought about Brock Purdy, which we'll play coming up in just a little bit. And I want to sort of compare and contrast the answers, because he seems to have a higher standard for wide receivers. And I don't know if it's because it's the position he grew up playing and played in college. I don't know if it's because he's got a particular way that he goes about things, wants to run the ball first. Guys got to put their hand in the dirt and get, you know, hat on hat on the outside in order to prove themselves before they can catch the ball. There seems to be a different standard that Kyle Shanahan has for his wide receivers. Do you think that's fair or foul?
I think, look, I'm going to answer your question, E. I don't want to go Sesame Street, and you guys could come for me and say I'm sounding soft, but whatever happened to, and it is the wide receiver position, building a guy up, propping him up. Like, what's wrong with that part? Unless Kyle is thinking he doesn't want this young guy's head to get big, and he feels like he's been getting a lot of love. I think he's earned it. But damn, Kyle, don't slap fans in the face. We all understand it's preseason, but we still can be excited. And my question to Kyle, to answer your question, Evan, is why don't you sound excited? It's okay.
Look, because in his mind, this is his 10th year as head coach, and this is preseason. That's why I don't think he's that excited.
But this same kind of thing happened too, and this was the 15-round bout with Steiny. Hope you're having fun, man. But the bottom line was, Ayuk, it was kind of weird the way he, and it was his prerogative, shout out Bobby Brown, Kyle's, to how he deals with young receivers. But I'll just say this, I can't even remember Ayuk's preseason being like this with Strib, but whatever happened in the season with Ayuk, it wasn't good. And I don't know now, is that a Kyle thing, or is it just, in my heart, Evan, I just believe maybe he doesn't want to just keep giving this guy what Kyle believes his flowers before an actual NFL game that matters, and Strib doing what he's done in the preseason.
No, I mean, like, I don't think Kyle Shanahan has anything against Dejon Stribling. I think he's probably downplaying his performance because he doesn't want him to get a big head. But
give the brother some love.
I just feel like after what people are throwing the numbers around, you know, no one's caught this many passes and had this many yards in two preseason games before as a rookie receiver. And again, it doesn't mean diddly squat when it comes to catching passes in a regular season game, but it looks like this is a guy that you're going to need this year. And if I'm looking at the wide receiver room, Mike Evans is absolutely wide receiver one. John Stribling is your second best guy, in my opinion, even though Deebo Samuel's back. I would expect Stribling by the end of the year to be the number two. And it doesn't. It almost sounds like Kyle Shanahan is, he has reservations about that. Despite him looking borderline unstoppable, he's only had, I'm sorry, he's been targeted 11 times at 10 catches.
Man.
Every time the ball goes to him, he catches it. I know he dropped the touchdown, but.
Yeah, I'll take you, because you mentioned Stribling, and that's the subject matter that we're talking about here. But I'll take you to Atlanta, and there's a rapper out there, a great rapper, got hits, Future. And that's what Stribling is when you talk about this quartet of wide receivers.
That's a four.
He is the future. I appreciate it. He is the future. So I just thought that was not sour, Evan, but damn, Kyle. Hey, get a little more pep in your step on my man.
Well, especially because the team's been pretty much built around the past, if we're being honest. There's a lot of older guys. There's a lot of experience. And, you know, that does win in the NFL. But the question for the Niners is how many guys are over the hill at this stage in their careers.
Shout out Bonte.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, it took me a minute. You're right. 888-957-9570 is the number. Why is Kyle Shanahan, why does he sound so hard on DeJuan Stribling? Is it due to the position? Is it because he's a rookie? Is it because that's who Kyle Shanahan is?
Or is this a nothing burger to some?
Well, it might end up being a nothing burger.
Yeah.
But I do think it's just interesting to hear the way that he talks about Stribling. And again, on the other side, I want to play for you a piece of sound of how he thought about Brock Purdy.
And we can't forget about George Niang.
The roster's finalized for the Warriors.
I thought it was done.
You didn't sound this excited about it last night. All right. Evan Giddings and Matt Steinmetz alongside Daryl the Guru Johnson. Again, Steve Weish, chief national reporter of the NFL Network, is coming up at 11 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. We're back after this on Steiny and Guru, brought to you by the California Office of Traffic Safety.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Was that a horse?
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
I'm in a good mood,
Yeah, that's what I told you. My favorite player was Miguel Tejada growing up. Come on.
Because we got the TVs on here in the studio, and the Little League World Series is playing, and every batter at the bottom of their profile, their favorite player, one youngster, had Juan Soto. So, of course, like when I asked Steiny, what'd you have for dinner, I asked you, who was your guy? And I thought it was Ricky, but that was my era.
Yeah, Ricky was a, I mean, he was still playing when I was young, because he played for like 25 years.
Yeah, Ricky.
But he wasn't in his prime, you know what I mean? A lot of guys in the East Bay, you know, they obviously Bonds was a huge guy. Jason Schmidt was actually someone who I really liked watching pitch when I was younger. But then for the A's, everyone always loved, you know, Xavi was a fan favorite. I also had a soft spot for T-Long.
Terrence Long.
Yeah, he was nasty. Barry Zito was big. Any one of the big three, basically, but Miguel Tejada was my guy.
What about the Giambi? Jason.
Jason Giambi was cool.
He didn't do it for you, though.
I mean, no, he's a great player. Don't get me wrong. He was ahead of his time in terms of the analytics and stuff, but Jason Giambi was, I don't know.
Why his brother didn't slide in that playoff game? Like, he acted like he was at the company softball game. Like, come on, you got to slide. Yeah. When Jeter made that
play. Yeah, rest in peace, Jeremy Giambi. All right, Goo. So, again, we got Steve Weish coming up in about 40 minutes here. Giddings in for Steinmetz with Guru. We're talking about Kyle Shanahan, and he got into a bunch of stuff yesterday. We talked about the York stuff. We'll kind of leave that on Tuesday. But there was something that the boss kind of pulled, and I thought was interesting. And it was about DeJuan Stribling and just how Kyle Shanahan doesn't seem that excited about him. And I think everybody is. You know, if there are three things that people are feeling electric about in the Bay Area when it comes to young players.
I know where you're going.
It is Bryce Eldridge for some, Yaxel Lendeborg for others, and DeJuan Stribling for San Francisco 49ers fans.
I like the big three, the young big three.
And Kyle Shanahan was asked about him during his presser yesterday.
Oh, what?
encouraging. I'm sure it is encouraging to see what Dejon Stribling has been able to do through the first two preseason games. And is it more than you guys expected at this point in the preseason?
No, I mean, the preseason games don't mean that much to me. And the coverage just went that way. He happened to get targeted, and he made those plays. But he's been doing that in practice, too. So he's where we expected him to be. And, we hope to not have to use him quite as much early on with Ricky and stuff out there. But we believed he was talented enough and made the right stuff that he could be if needed. And just losing Ricky just ups that a little bit. You have to use him a little sooner than you prepared. But that's stuff that happens all the time.
It was really that first part where he kind of said that.
No, to me. I'm like, am I overreacting? But to me, I just got in Ken's ear, Evan. I guess it was the no right away.
Well, for me, it was the part about.
Shout out Aaron.
Well, the ball came to him because of the coverages. You know, it wasn't really on him.
Right, exactly.
It's like, I don't know. He caught seven passes in the first preseason game. Caught another few in the second game against the Chargers.
Yeah. Evan scored 15 points, coach. Yeah, they don't got good defense. Right? They're not good defenders.
Well, he did it against the backups. We'll see what he can do week one against the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Trent McDuffie's not going to be on it. It's like, okay, yeah, so week one in Australia, if Dejon Stribling has a nice game, not a big game, because I was looking at the two rookie receivers that I think have popped for the Niners. Deebo Samuel had a good year in 2019 when they went to the Super Bowl, and then Ayuk the next year in 2020, a year derailed by injury, but Deebo had two 100-yard games in his rookie season, and Ayuk also had multiple 100-yard games. If Dejon Stribling has a big game against the Rams, not 100 yards, but maybe catches five balls for 55 and looks like a dude, couple first downs, is he going to give him his flowers then, or is it still going to be, hey, hold on, young buck, because you still got a lot to learn in this league.
And I'm going to give Kyle the benefit of the doubt and say, Evan, if that pops off that way, and let's just say he strings together two or three games, Kyle will be more excited than anybody. But I guess the biggest compliment and why I feel like now, talking to myself, are you overreacting because he drafted him, right? That's the biggest blessing you could give anybody, right, Evan? I saw your tape. I saw your film. I think and I want you to be a part of our franchise. That's what's happened. So maybe I'll just call the dogs off in a sense. But I'll say this about Stribs. I think the fact that you got a bona fide Mike Evans number one when healthy, like that's where the majority of the focus on the defense will be. So I'm thinking, man, maybe Stribling will be able to eat going up against, not the top corners.
Yeah, no, and look, the text line is bringing up the idea that Kyle Shanahan, like, how would it look if he was giving all this praise to a rookie for a couple of preseason games? I'm not saying he's got to tell you he's the next Terrell Owens or that he's going to be Jerry Rice, but
I love me some T.O.
Can you just be excited about the guy? So this is what Mike Evans said. By the way, during that preseason game, I believe it was with Vern Glenn on KPIX, he told him,
Vern,
Strip gets the job done. He's a rookie, but he's a pro, and he's been a pro. He's going to make a lot of plays for us this year. I don't think that's glazing. I don't think that's...
But that's better than what we're playing yesterday.
Yeah.
That makes me feel a whole lot better.
Mike Evans is not saying that Dejon Stribling is going to lead this team in this receiving core. He's not saying that he's going to go on to get a gold jacket the way that Mike Evans is. He's not putting the cart before the horse, but he's telling you that this guy looks like he has the potential to be a dude. And I guess I just don't hear that from his head coach.
Yeah. What about my take on the biggest compliment Kyle could say? Not in that moment would never supersede the fact that Kyle drafted him. You know what I mean? That means, dude, you got the goods. Forget the verbal stuff, Goo and Evan saying, I didn't go over my skis and serenade you. But the bottom line is you're a 49er because we like what you can be and what we project you to be.
And I think part of it is his history, right? The incident with Brandon Ayuk early in 2021 wasn't really getting snaps or was splitting them with Trent Sherfield of all people.
Man.
And Kyle said it was related to performance, practice habits were a big one, and also he cited a hamstring injury from the preseason. But there was one that I did not remember this, and it was at the scouting combine after Kyle Shanahan got hired as head coach of the Niners.
Oh, so you're going back.
And he was asked at the combine. To be fair, I think Torrey Smith was their most veteran receiver. They didn't have a lot of guys, and they weren't very good. But he was asked if there was anyone that stood out to him. you know, hey, Shanahan, and you come in, head coach, any of the wide receivers that excite you? And he said no one in particular.
So that's Kyle being Kyle.
It's who he is.
Yeah.
It is who he is. But I just find it interesting when he finally does have a talent, there's still that side of him that just can't say, yeah, we're excited about DeJuan Stribling.
Yeah, listen, I got to say this.
You just got to look at his numbers and stuff.
Yeah, we got a someone in the chat that gets on my nerves, but I love him, Austin in San Jose. What's he supposed to do, cartwheels over some catches in the preseason? And I just picture Kyle
doing cartwheels. No, but he can acknowledge them. He literally said, he got the catches because of the coverages.
Right. And then he said, no, he wasn't excited. But
I believe after the first preseason game, he said that there was something wrong with his route running. Like his routes weren't crisp.
Oh, see, I didn't hear that.
So it's like I'm not saying he's got to throw flowers at his feet, but just a little bit of credit.
Now, on the flip side, if Kyle was in here off air and he was like, hey, that's just me. I'm not rookies or rookies, you know. Not tough love, but something on that street to where I'm not going to go above and beyond to tell Evan his stuff don't stink too early. He balls out through first 3 or 4 weeks or whatnot, then I'll give him his stuff. I'll give him his flowers.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Saying. All right, so this was Kyle Shanahan. And it was on, I believe, he was on with Tom Tolbert earlier this offseason, and he was describing when he knew that Brock Purdy was legit. So, again, this is not in the moment, but this is him looking back on what he thought. And I want to play it for you and then kind of compare and contrast.
Oh, I mean, now it's been so great. But, I mean, he impressed us the first day he got there. I mean, we really liked him coming out of college. Just going through the whole draft thing that year, you know, he was one of our favorite quarterbacks in the draft. But you go off, you know what people say, you know, off your experience of a guy with his height, weight and speed and stuff, you know where they usually get drafted. And so we gave him a fourth round draft pick. We would have rather taken him in the fourth round than, I don't remember who the guys were, but I believe than any quarterback we would have taken in the first round. It's about that. But yeah. It's like, well, why don't you take him in the fourth round? Based off our experience, I don't think he'll get drafted. And we said that, but maybe we will if we're in the seventh, we have an extra one. When he got here, the way he looked with his few reps was so impressive. And we were trying to get Jimmy ready. We were trying to get Trey ready. And Jimmy was competing with him to see who went. And I've told this story before, but I remember Jed coming in after a lot of training camp practices and always tell, who's looking better, Jimmy or Trey? And it was a couple of days I was frustrated. And I was just like, I'm just telling you, it's the third guy. It's that guy that, and he's like, what? Who? I'm like, I'm just telling you, it's him.
Evan, were they cleaning out a fish tank? What's going on?
Sounded like he had his foot in the pool and was just swishing it around.
You might be right, in the sauna. But I'll say this, because it is fascinating. It's so fascinating. I text you and Kenny this morning when you brought this up, this sound. Just the inception of Brock Purdy. After what? The disaster, the Trey Lance pick, what you utilized in regard to capital to get Trey Lance, it shocked everybody. But, Evan, I can't think of too many more examples to where Kyle and John might be out of a job had they not hit the ultimate Geico and drafted Brock Purdy. So as bad, I can say as bad as the Trey Lance debacle was, I could almost make an argument the pick of Brock Purdy was better than the mistake of Trey Lance, because now this dude – is your starting quarterback for the foreseeable future. You paid him. He's took you to a Super Bowl, a couple NFC championship games. But I will die on the hill that had you not hit on Brock and you still kind of were looking for another quarterback for the starter for the next 12 to 15 months, these dudes might have been ran.
They could have been, because they were left with a third-string quarterback.
Think about that.
Who wasn't just Mr. Irrelevant and popped immediately. And again, this was Shanahan talking about before he even saw him against, I think it was Brian Flores' Miami defense that he kind of dissected immediately when he had to come in for Jimmy. He was talking about preseason. But Brock Purdy was also the best bargain in sports for the first 4 years of his career, effectively, which allowed the Niners to keep paying guys, to keep dudes. And eventually now the bill has come due for them in a sense. But he could tell immediately that Brock was the guy with just, and he said, with limited snaps, with limited reps. You know, I just think it's interesting now hearing the way he talks about Stribling, who is expected to be a guy, who's expected to be a dude. And maybe expectations play into this for him. But, you know, Kyle Shanahan was, it sounded like behind the scenes, head over heels about Brock Purdy to the extent that he was telling the owner that he was better than the two guys in front of him, being Trey Lance and Garoppolo. Whereas Stribling now is, and I know he's not going to be better than Mike Evans out of the gate. He probably never will be in his career. But
yeah, Mike's a dude.
Is that what's preventing him from, I don't know, just, again, giving the kid some credit?
Let me ask you this, to your take. Do you think the fact that he was, Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant, nobody expected anything, that's why he felt Kyle more compelled to kind of prop him up? As Stribling is, you know, we drafted you, with our first pick, we shocked the world, lightweight again. Expectations are out there. I'll dial it back, as opposed to Brock needed to be propped up.
Well, let me ask you this. What if DeJuan Stribling ends up being the pick that makes you forget about Ricky Pearsall? Because so far he's been a bad first-round pick.
And I'd give them all the credit in the world.
I mean, Brock Purdy saved their jobs, man, and saved the quarterback position,
turned their seasons into multiple
NFC Championship appearances and a Super Bowl appearance. I don't think Stribling has that sort of potential, but one of the reasons why I think folks are so excited about his preseason performances is because the guy who he is effectively replacing is out for the year and was expected to be this. I mean, Ricky Pearsall has had a couple of big games in the NFL. He looks like a good receiver when he's on the field, but he leaves you wanting more. I think Stribling has the potential to leave everyone not just content, but excited on Sundays. And I feel like there's not that. That's what I'm not hearing from Shanahan.
Yeah, interesting. So, yeah, we'll definitely watch this. And, you know, I don't forget anything, Evan, from our listeners, texters, but our guy Wes Oakland Holloway reminded me last Friday, you know, as dynamic as I dubbed Ricky Pearsall when he played last year, he didn't get in the end zone. And I hope, and I'm not putting that all at the doorstep of Pearsall, but I hope Stribling, and you know this, watching football your whole life, E, some guys just have the knack for the end zone. So I hope Stribling, that's a part of his DNA, is when he gets those catches, you know, some of them will be in the end zone to where we see him dance or give the ball to the ref or whatnot.
We've kind of had the same conversation about Yaxel Lendeborg a bit because, I mean, I don't know how you compare a Summer League MVP to, you know, umpteen catches in the preseason. But again, it's not a regular season game. He hasn't done anything in the pros. What if Steve Kerr, after Lendeborg raised the Summer League trophy and MVP trophy, and he came out and said, well, yeah, he was only scoring because it was Summer League.
That would be foul.
Like, he just kind of poo-poos it.
Yeah, not to a me, technical, but that'd be a foul.
It's a similar line of thinking to me. I don't understand why there's a need to, I don't know if put a guy in his place is the proper way to describe it, but to just downplay it. I mean, people are excited about this guy, and I know Kyle Shanahan doesn't give a rip about what fans think. That's been apparent from his time over a decade. But if you right now are a 49ers fan and you're looking for a jersey to buy that you don't have, I have to imagine that Stribling is towards the top of your list because of his potential.
Mm.
That's just me.
Yeah, no, and I'm not mad at you, but I gotta believe, again, I said I'm giving Kyle the benefit of the doubt in this, that this is just a method to his madness. What about the first time you got from behind the producer board and did your first show? You probably were excellent. I'm sure, Nahegan probably wasn't going to tell you you were excellent. Hey, you can work on this or that, because that's how it was when I was coming up. Maybe I wasn't excellent, but you know what I mean? Like, you got to leave you thinking you need to do more. Maybe that's just what he's doing, but you don't like my example of the biggest compliment Stribling can get from Kyle came with the drafting of him.
No, I think that's fair, especially because it sounded like the Niners thought more highly of him than other teams. Mm. Although there's the Schefter report that the Rams, you know, had him really high too, and there's some teams that would have grabbed him. Who knows if that would have happened or not. What we do know is that the Niners traded back twice and then still ended up getting their guy. And, you know, it's funny. It's like, I think it was Trent Williams who was asked about him earlier in camp. And Williams said, he's Juwan Jennings, but he runs a 4-3. And he said he's going to be a player. I promise you that. And I know these are his teammates, and they're trying to hype him up. And maybe that could be what I'm missing, is the fact that that's the player's job, is to hype up their teammate. It's the coach's job to say, young man, you haven't done anything yet.
Yeah, no doubt. Keep you grounded. Now, I will say this about Trent, because, you know, it's like, oh, players are always going to say something, you know, positive about their guy. But we always, I'll never forget the practice that was over, and Kyle, Warner, and Trent were walking off the field, and Trent and Fred said to Kyle, I'm talking about Brock Purdy before he was a starter, this dude's got something. And I'm just saying, I ain't saying he's Dan Marino. I know he wears a 13. That's his dude. But they were kind of right. You know what I mean? Because he took over and did what I had just previously mentioned, a Super Bowl visit and two NFC championship games. And now he's your future.
Yeah, and you're right. He was the best insurance plan that they could have got, though they didn't know they had it.
Man, like the Warriors, if they would have had, here I go, revisionist history. Hey, Marcy. What if, like, there was no Geico for Wiseman. Like, we're still paying for that now. And you brought up two great examples, both at the quarterback position, one with Tom Brady when Bledsoe got hurt. Like, that, wow, count the bucket.
Yeah.
And then you went to St. Louis when they were the St. Louis Rams.
For Warner.
Man.
Yeah.
So it has happened, but I just felt like, Bledsoe took you to a Super Bowl with New England. He was your guy. Lance didn't do any of that. It was just all bad from the start.
No, but Garoppolo did. Mm-hmm. And they decided that the moment Brock Purdy was the dude in San Francisco, he was not going to give up that job. It was kind of interesting. I think, you know, when we were talking about it before the show, and, you know, Brock Purdy's this insurance plan and, you know, stepped in and whatnot.
Geico.
Actually, one of the first guys I thought of recently was Dak Prescott, because the Cowboys, due to injury, had to bring Dak in, and they didn't lose a game.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that eventually they got beat in the postseason.
Lost to the Rams.
Yeah, but Dak Prescott
13-3
captured the attention of the Cowboys, and to the point where they moved off of Tony Romo.
But
who is a lot better than Jimmy Garoppolo, by the way?
And now you got me with you one-up me with the Garoppolo, but I just keep going to the Lance, at least for the Cowboys, obviously not a Super Bowl. Romo was a guy. He had took him to the playoffs. He was their franchise quarterback. So it ended bad. He got hurt. But you got something out of the Tony Romo experience, as opposed to John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, and Niner fans, Evan, not getting a damn thing from Trey Lance. But, man,
they got a fourth-round pick.
The prize in the Cracker Jack box was, we got a future franchise quarterback.
Yeah, but you didn't know. It's funny. So Kyle said that they had a fourth-round grade on Brock, and they still took him with the last pick in the draft. See, it's funny. The Niners, I struggle with this. You know, how much credit do you give them for drafting Brock Purdy?
A lot, man.
A lot?
Yeah, man.
He was the last pick of the draft.
Yeah, but he was your last pick. And Evan, what if that pick would have been a punter or any other position? You would probably be EDD. You'd probably have a job now, because you would have lost this one. Or that cloud would have followed this franchise. And these NFC championship games, the Niners being dominant, all that goes away. And I'm just thinking to myself, how can you not give him that credit, even though it was the last pick, like you say? Because you had to see something, and it's more than fair. Did they see this? Probably not. But who knows? Because you called his name, and he saved a whole lot of asses in the organization with his play, and now his new contract.
Yeah, I guess that's where we're a little different. I don't give them as much credit for the drafting of Brock as I do for the willingness to move the two guys in front of him to allow him to become your starting quarterback. I know he took the job because of injury, but that next season, you were just like, I'm sorry, this is our plan. You know, we're going to put the franchise in the hands of an undersized, underarmed, underrated, underdrafted, Mr. Irrelevant quarterback.
To me, like, that's from a Super Bowl.
That's gutsy, I think.
Mm-hmm. But I guess after you make a blunder that big, that's what you got to rely on. Like, at that point, you're behind the eight ball.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter how you got him. As long as you recognize it. I think that's
imagine him not working.
If a golden ticket falls in your lap, you got to take it.
Wow.
888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings in for Matt Simons alongside Daryl the Guru Johnson. We got Steve Wyche, Chief National Reporter of the NFL Network, coming up at 11 o'clock. It is the 10-year anniversary of the first time that Colin Kaepernick, who, by the way, has a book coming out in about a month. I believe it's called, The Perilous Fight. Pardon me. A Memoir and Manifesto. It's coming out next month. We're going to talk to Steve Wyche about it because he was the first man who interviewed Kaepernick after it happened. So we're going to look back at that. We're also going to get Steve Weiss's thoughts on Kyle Shanahan and Jed York and where they go from here. So all that coming up again at 11 o'clock on 95.7 The Game. Hey, our Red and Gold Summit is set for Thursday, September 3rd. That's next week. All the hosts, including special guest Brian Baldinger from 4 o'clock to 6 p.m. They're live at Jackson Pleasant Hill. Got great food, great drinks, your chance to win an autographed item, multiple, and much more. So Willard and Dibbs get the party started at 2 o'clock. And then the summit is from 4 to 6. All brought to you by Ashby Lumber and Humboldt Sawmill Redwood Products. Also, the Valkyries are back in action tonight, taking on the Connecticut Sun at 4 o'clock. Listen to it right here on 95.7 The Game and on the free Odyssey app. Just search Valkyries for the action.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.